next mizmar. Okay, there's not much more to do over here. We're up to over here. We are up to page 858. Okay, we finished page 856, 857. We're up to page 858. Your goydol nefesh tzaddik v'dam darki yarshil. Okay, this pasuk over here is referring to the wicked. The wicked are your godu. Your godu has two possible translations. Either it means, or maybe at least two possible translations, it means gedudim. It means like a battalion, a large organized group of soldiers. So here it says that the wicked people, they don't just attempt to attack an innocent bystander. They're very organized. The wicked are extremely organized. They have a very large network of soldiers, and everyone has their job. They're all prepared. They're trained. They're like a battalion. This is how they go about their technique in taking down the righteous, the nefesh tzaddik yogodu. They gather against the nefesh tzaddik as a gidud, as a battalion. Vidam noki yarshiu, and they declare the blood of the innocent to be guilty. Okay, so this is a little bit complicated over here, what it means over here, but we're referring over here to the very devious, very sinister plans of wicked people. Don't ever underestimate the koyach of Ra. We're very naive in America. We think that, you know, everything is good. Baruch Hashem, we're very fortunate. I read yesterday a statistical report, I don't know if it's true. Everything you know, you have to know if it's really true or not. When you go back in 19, this is so they claim, that in 1960s, only less than 20% of the citizens, the poll, believed that the government would have the chutzpah to lie to the citizens. And then they go through all the years, and then the latest poll, 2024, is the results are that 93% of the citizens in this country believe firmly that the government lies to them.
Finally got
93%. Can you imagine? Is that really true? Well, I certainly believe it. I mean, I don't. The common man believes it, but 93%. So they say. Who did the poll? Who knows if this is true or not? I don't know. You have to see if it's true. That we went from 1960 to only 20% of the population would suspect the government of lying to people. And now today, the statistics are, what do you say about those statistics?
The government is a big entity. And yes, Americans have totally lost trust in all the institutions that they used to believe in. Yeah.
It's pretty frightening. So
it doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum politically,
there's a lack of trust and faith. Everyone's in it for themselves. Yogodu is a very powerful word. It's a gedut, a battalion. It's a government. A government has hundreds of thousands of people working for them, maybe millions of people working for them. It's a very large organization, and all of this can be directed, chas v'shalom, al, in this context, it means against the tzaddik. And then it goes on to say, the dam daki yarshil. Let's see the mitzvah of Pasuk Chaf Aleph. On page 859, the pasuk says, Yogodu Yischabru.
COVID was the final straw.
COVID was the final straw. Yeah. There's a lot more going on. There's a lot. Okay, I don't know.
As far as lying to us?
Well, there are many people that believe COVID wasn't a lie. I don't know.
You don't know.
I hope you're right. I'm afraid to open my mouth to anyone, because I know people that no, everything is, everything. I don't know what to tell you. There are certain people I know, you be very careful. They get very insulted. I know people, very intelligent people, that are very big supporters of Biden. They will vote for him this coming election.
Which shows you how valuable intelligence is as opposed to wisdom.
There are people in the share, you should know, that I think, our support.
Take him out of the
share.
Too bad.
I don't know what to say. You know, it's all a matter of the news, the information. MS is a very hard thing today to find. It's a very hard thing to find with clarity. whatever. Well, here we have here. This mizmar is a frightening mizmar, and it keeps repeating one thing, one word that it keeps it repeating again and again. And this mizmar, and these types of mizmarim, are the word MS. MS, oven, omol. These are terms which are very, very important. Okay, let's look over here at the Mitzudah stuff on page 859. In the Mitzudah, Stavid, Yogodu, Yishabru, Gidudim. They gather together as Gidudim, as a battalion. Groups, Al Nefesh, Tzadik, Lekachta, to take it.
Organized group.
Organized crime. The Mafia. Yarshiu, Mechaivim. Mechayvim bedinam hamikulkol. They declare them guilty. Look. Essentially, the Mitzvah Sion does not over here want to touch the word yogodu, at least in the Mitzvah Sion. Okay, so it means over here it means a battalion. Okay, let's read the pesukim and we'll come back. Pasuk of Beis Vayihi Hashem.
It doesn't say who does that. It's
general. General. Wicked people.
It looks like the beginning of the mizmor.
Yeah.
Was talking about the shayim. And so forth. And
right.
It seems like all the things in between. Suddenly it comes back.
There's a lot of vacillation.
Yeah.
We vacillate a lot between in this mizmor, but you're right. The beginning of the mizmor.
Still, they're talking about
wicked people.
Well, the
Medak
says, and the enemy,
the king, the Umay Sa'ilam, the kings of the nations of the world, the Umay Sa'ilam. Okay, let's go further. Klaus Schwab, he said that we have penetrated all the cabinets. He vows off all the people that were his students, openly wishes for depopulation and for global communism. And he has his students, and he says, they're all my students, and my students have penetrated all the governments of the world. The Malchei Umay Sa'ilam. And he lists off all these people, the whole long list of people that he has trained. And if these students of his have really believed in his values, we're in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble because those values are Keneged Kol HaTorah Kula. Let's see, maybe for the world, I don't know what the world has to say about these things, but the Torah certainly does not believe in those values.
We're not the only ones in trouble.
Torah says, today there is openly, this, I'm not making this up, you know this, is the openly, there is an attitude of depopulation. They believe, they publicly say that the world cannot sustain more than a billion people.
That's just part of it.
The Torah says in the very beginning, Peru Urvu Umilu Es Haaretz V'Chivshua. So that principle of controlling population, look, China's been going on for centuries, I would assume.
They're not doing well by it.
Okay, you're not allowed to have more than one child.
Now they have three.
Now you can, okay. But
it's too late.
Right, but there is in the world of communism, there is definitely one of the basic principles of communism is population control. That is
control, but they want their population to grow. They just want to control the people who they have.
I'm not necessarily want. Okay, but fine. Okay, fine. But the Torah says in the very beginning.
Want to live under that system, they're oppressed and they're poor, they're made poor by that system, then they feel, how can they bring up children in that? And they don't have that optimism that religious people have.
Okay.
That's why it's declining in all these so-called civilized countries.
The Torah addresses every single principle. Every single hafoichba du kulaba. Peru or Revu, it's not just about money, about there being rich and poor. Look, last week's parasha. There's the woman who is wealthy, she brings an animal, and then there's the woman who's poor. So you see right away you're dealing with a society where there are rich and poor. In the ideal socialist society, there's no difference. Everyone is poor. Everyone is poor. It's not shy for one person to be rich, one person to be poor. So the Torah right away by revealing the Meloa Hisig Yodoy L'day Seh shows that this concept of trying to even the playing field, it doesn't work. It doesn't exist. The concept of Kru Urvu, and doesn't just say that, Umilu es haaretz, fill up the earth. The everything, hafeichba, dekulba. Okay, we're getting sidetracked because the word yogodu is a powerful word, which means that the koich of evil, according to the Mitzvah David, is not just isolated individuals who behave evil. The word yogodu means there is a sophisticated, organized, massively large organization that is trained and attempting to commit crimes. Yogodu, Mitzudos David.
Yeah,
the Nazi party. Exactly. And it's not only the Nazis, it's half the world is like this. The Malchei Umas HaOlam, they are organized, Yischabru, Gidudim, that's a very powerful word. Al Nefesh Hatzadik Lekachta. Let's see the next Pasuk. Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayhi Hashem Li Lemiskof. Over here there is the response. Yet, despite the fact that they're trying to eliminate us, Hashem was to me as a stronghold. Velokai, my God, was for me Litzur Machsi, a rock of shelter. Mitzudos David, Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayhi Hashem Avol. Hashem hayuli lemiskav lahatzileni miyadam, to save me from their hands. Despite the fact that the world has organized in a way to commit horrific crimes, Hashem will spare me. Pasuk of Gimel.
You just saw this.
That's right. Nisim v'niflois. Nisim v'niflois. We were zoicha to, we have to give shevach v'ayda to Hashem. Like I said, it's really amazing, but really, really, you know, it's hard to believe the miracle that happened 2 days ago.
Statistically, it's impossible to have had this type of defense.
And every single chayol who went out,
he works in military, he knows that a certain amount has to get through, a certain amount of human error, a certain amount of this, a certain amount of that. Statistically,
nisim v'niflois.
Open nisim v'niflois.
You know how many people were involved in the response, in the preparation to respond? The people, the soldiers, and everyone came home safely. Everyone came back safe and sound. It's lo yu'uman. Lo yu'uman. Okay, let's go further over here. Pasuk, Vayhi Hashem li lemiskav, Hashem was for me as the miskav. Okay, we did that already. Pasuk of Gimel. This is a very important pasuk. Why is this the last pasuk of the Mizmar? And why is this pasuk the most important pasuk? Because in the Mamori Chazal, it tells us this is what the Levim were singing at the moment of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Vayoshev aleihem es onam uverosam yatz misem Hashem, returned upon the enemies es onam. The word onam is a hard word to translate. The Mitzudah stuff, it says it means they're evil. Let's see the Mitzudah stuff. Vayoshev and Vayoshev aleihem yoshev he'avoin. No, he does not. He translates the word, means the word avoin, sin. Vayoshev aleihem yoshev. I'm reading from the Mitzvah Stavin on page 859. Hashem brought upon them he'avoin ve'he'omol shechoshvu la'asois li, boomeranged. The evil that they planned to do to me boomeranged and came upon them. So the word onam means avonam and their omol. Two words that we had in the last day or two, which mean the same sherish. It's Vayoshev Hashem es onam aleph vav avon nun. Oh, you're right. Oops. Avonam, but okay. How does it mean they're evil? Look. He avon.
Koichi voracious. So their strength will attack them.
Avon means sin. Yoshev ha avon ve heamo. Aleph vav nun means sin. We had this before. Look at the Mitzudah Sion. The Mitzudah Sion says milashon oven ve amol ve im shavav nacha. Even though the vav in this word is there's no dat. It's a vowel. That's what's ba. Where is the vav? S onam. If this word really means avon, where is the vav? The vav in the word avon is part of the root. It is the ayin hapoal. Here, there is no vav. Don't be confused with the fact that we find the vav in this word, because the vav over here is nothing more than a vowel. It's a cholam for the aleph. So where is the vav? So that's what the Mitzvah Sefer is coming to address. Miloshen oven, the omol, ah, the im shehavav nocha, which basically means that the vav doesn't exist. The vav is absent in this word. V'chein, doesn't matter. Sometimes it's not so uncommon that letter, the words of the shoresh, mysteriously disappear. When we transform, we manipulate a word in order to bring out a form of the word. It's not so uncommon that one of the root letters has to say goodbye in order to make the word work in its context. So here we can detect that the real root of this word is an oven, and even though the vav truly disappeared, it doesn't matter. That's what it means. Aleph, vav, nun. The vav here, even though the vav is not a real vav, it means a sin. The sin that they tried to commit against us was boomerang and came against them. V'chein v'oilasa kafza pia shavav nacha. There in that word is oilasa, is ove. Where is that? Imshi noya b'chol makayim. So what is that? What does that mean? Oilasa kafza pia is avol. Ayin vav lamid. It's a different word. Ayin vav lamid. Ovel, with an ayin. So where is the vav in that word? Same answer. Sometimes letters of the shoresh, they disappear. So here also, okay, nusach acher. Now he has another translation. It's a very hard word. Is inyan koyach. Okay, so own, like kumo motsasi. Only in that word, the vav is not part of the root. That, the vav there is a vowel. Own means power. Right. Own. Koichi v'reishis oni. Oni is spelled with an aleph there? With an aleph?
Yes.
Aleph. Good. So this means my strength. Okay, so over here we have two completely different translations, at least according to the Mitzvah Stav, what this word means. Yeah?
Oh,
you know, wrongdoing. Oh, you know, there's a nun. Okay, aleph, overcharge, like the daf, yesterday's daf. The top of yesterday's daf, the ein olav oino, yesterday's daf. Okay, very good. As onam, very good. You're saying very good. So how come no one says it over here? I don't know the answer. Is the word oin, right, there's the oinoas devarim, oinoas mammon, and the word oino, is a Hebrew word or an Aramaic word? In the Torah, it says the word oino?
No.
Does it say the word oino in the Torah?
Maybe it does.
Oh, you're right. So it does say the word. Lo sonu, it does say. Lo sa'ane. Lo sa'ane al monov yosayim. It does say.
That's
with an ayin? How does it spell it?
That might be with an ayin.
Okay, and the Gemara, though, it spells with an aleph. Oh, no, with an aleph, I think, right? Okay, that's Aramaic. So Aramaic is switched from the aleph to an ayin. So but in the Torah, Hebrew, it has to be with an ayin. Al monov agir lo sa'anun. In any event, okay, so you're asking good. Sometimes we do find the aleph and the ayin are interchanged. It's true. I don't know the answer. But for right now, the Mitzvah David and Mitzvah Sion is telling us a chiddush. We say this pasuk all the time, and it's important to know what is the root, the shorish of the word. Over here, he's telling us two different perushim. Either it means ovon, aleph, vav, nun. In this word, we have to appreciate that the vav is not a real vav. The vav over here is a make-believe vav. It's nothing more than a vowel. Yeah.
Like oven.
Oven, right. That's what I mean. Oven. That's what I meant. Oven. Oven. Aleph, vav, nun. Oven. That's what he said. That's what the Mitzvah Stavim says. Oven. With a segel under the vav. However, the problem, the flaw in suggesting that this word is related to the word oven is there is no vav in this word. That's the flaw. And don't be misled of the vav, because the vav here isn't just a cholam. It's holding up that dot. That's all it's doing. It's not a real vav. So what is the answer? Big deal. Don't chap me on diktuk. Because there are many examples where you have a letter that is part of the root, and when the word is transformed to bring out a point, a root letter disappears. It's not so uncommon. It's a bit more uncommon when the middle letter. There are rules. There are basic rules which letters disappear. There are certain types of letters. I don't know all the details, but a middle letter, the Ayin HaPoyal, is not your first guy to go. He's not a candidate to disappear. So to take a word here and say that the root of the word is Aleph, Vav, Nun, and to say that the middle letter, the Ayin HaPoyal, is going to disappear, is quite a chiddush. It's a chiddush to say such a thing. But he has no problem doing so, and he says the word over here means Oven, it means a sin, a crime, and Hashem will bring the crimes upon, they'll be the victim of their own crime, we're going to do that, and period, that's one interpretation. Interpretation number two, this word means strength. It means power. And where do we find an example? Like you said, he says, Koichi v'reishis oni. Reishis oni. The root is the Aleph Nun. The Aleph Nun, that's the main root of the word. And that's exactly the Zif Hashem will bring their power. Their power will be used against them. All of their technology will work against them and do themselves in. Okay? Could you imagine if you have a weapon system and you give it the koyach of AI, you give it autonomy with AI, and the system decides why are these people, why should they be destroyed? The aggressor, they should be destroyed. And the AI turns the missiles on the nation that shoots the missiles. Such a thing is possible. It's very realistic what I just told you. You go and you tell the computer, there is the enemy. We have give you AI, we give you artificial intelligence to make the right decisions and exactly how to neutralize, how to eliminate the enemy. And the computer takes over, and the computer comes to the realization, why should we attack these innocent people? Better we should attack the people, the aggressors. And they shoot the missiles, and the missiles turn around and come and destroy the perpetrators. Okay, so that's very possible in today's crazy world. That's very possible. AI can talk and do that. Isn't that exactly what it says over here? You see, the David Tillim was way ahead of the game, way ahead of the time. Vayoshev aleihem es oinam. Their strength, their power, will be used against them. They passed over here yesterday in the house an extension of what's called 702. Is that what it's called? Which gives the government the right to spy on its own citizens. This is the greatest expansion.
Yes,
they passed it. This is the greatest expansion of the power of the government to spy on its citizens since the Patriot Act. The 9/11 brought forth the Patriot Act, which basically gave the government the permission to spy on its own citizens.
And
so,
use it against them.
And use it against them, absolutely. Use it against them in the court of law. Because abuse. It's a very good thing if they're looking for terrorists. But it's a legal loophole to look for political, to eliminate political opponents, to eliminate political opponents. Once already, everything can be used now. So everything has been the same since 2001. It's been pretty much a status quo. Yesterday was a very elaborate expansion. This country is becoming a communist state. It was a very elaborate expansion of the Patriot Act. Patriot Act number two. It's a very frightening thing. And you go, this shul now is obligated by law, federal law, to hand over any internet activity that goes on in this room. Any restaurant, basically any commercial space, public space, the government can say any internet activity that takes place in this room, hand it over. We want to see whatever you typed on the computer.
They can get it legally,
and they can use it against you in a court of law. You realize now what they did yesterday?
If it's abuse, it's no good, but if you really did something wrong,
everyone does something wrong. Ain't tzaddik ba'aretz. Excuse me. Ain't tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yecheta. You realize now, whatever Meir is doing on his little device over there, the government can legally take possession and use it against you in the court of law.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
They're going to get you for rebellion.
What? That's right. What I say over on Zoom, that's right. You got
but
it.
But you could say death to the... It's religion.
And
you can't do anything with what you use.
Weiter.
Let laser
in Russia was a very popular joke. How you can convict a telephone pole? Because he's listening for the conversation which is going on through the wires.
It's listening to the conversation that's going on in between the wires.
It's a telephone pole.
Telephone pole.
The government wants the...
They always can listen, but now it's begolui. It's no longer besesa. Now it's begolui. It's a whole different ballgame. It's unbelievable. How do these feel they pass these laws? How do they allow this? Not to be believed. Onam only goes one way. There's no return. It's beyond return. It never ever happened that the government will give you back rights. Never. Privacy, never. It's only one way. Onam Mashiach's times. Onam inyan koyach k'may matzasi only. So we have over here two perushim, power. Ultimately, the power. So why did I tell you that? Because ultimately, this abuse of power will come back to haunt them. The people who abuse power, ultimately, the power that they abuse will ultimately be a source of guilt for the abusers. Two very important translations for this pasuk: Vayoshev aleim es onam. Oh, what's the third one?
It's money.
Money?
I don't remember which word it is.
Okay, we see Rashi has another pshat.
They use their money for power.
So far, two perushim, onam milashon oven, or milashon koichi voracious oni, power. Okay, two very different translations. Uver asam yatzmisim, and in their own evil they will be cut down. Mitsudois David yatzmisim, there is no uver asam behara atzma sheichinu alai, the evil that they plan to bring upon me. Bo, that evil plan yachrisim Hashem. It sounds very much like the Purim story. All of the plans, the tree, the gallows that Haman prepared for Mordechai, he was hung on. Okay, the plans, what he wanted to do to us was done to him. Uver asam, and in their own evil yatz misem, they will be cut down. Now this over here is a very unique situation in the Torah where you have two words back to back, the same exact word. Yatz misem, and it's said now in a new context. Uver asam yatz misem, Hashem Elokeinu. How many times in the Torah and Tanakh, I don't know the statistics, I remember once you used to know this, does it say like two words? Vayim Hashem, like Avraham, Avraham, Moshe, Moshe. There's a select number of times that it says in the word there are two words back to back, back to back. And they once said this to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He told them, this is the famous Smaisa, where they asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky how many times in Tanakh or in the Torah are there two words back to back, just like this over here, yatz misem, and he told them the number, and they said, Reb Chaim, sorry, the computer says you're wrong. There's one more. So he says, no, the computer's wrong. You're referring to mise Moshe. I don't remember the whole pasuk. There's one pasuk that says the word Moshe, and the next word is mise or mise, and then it says the word Moshe. I don't remember. So he says, so there's a different word. It's not Moshe, Moshe. It's not Mise, Mise. It's Mise, and it's Moshe. So that doesn't count. And they looked, and he was right. So he knew, you see, you can't fool the human mind.
The lesson being, look before you leave.
Look, just because you have two words that have the same exact letters doesn't mean they're exactly the same word. Mise, from a sheep, and Moshe, yeah?
The first pasuk of this parak also has it.
Kel nekamot Hashem,
kel nekamot Ophir. Kel nekamot
Hashem, kel...
It's not...
Kel, wait.
Kel nekamot Hashem, kel nekamot Ophir.
Wait, which page on it?
Pasuk Aleph, Page 48.
Kel nekamos Hashem, kel nekamos Sophia.
Kel nekamos.
No, but the exact word, the mamash, two words.
And he finished the same thing. That's mitten.
But, okay, but this is an expression. Okay, this is an expression. Kel nekamos Hashem, kel nekamos. This is an expression. Okay. Yatz misein, period. And then we have an expression, Yatzmi Seim Hashem Elokeinu. Let us see what it says over here in the Mitzvah Stav. Yatzmi Seim means to cut down. The word Yatzmi Seim in Kedisa, Mitzvah Stav, Yatzmi Seim Hashem Ko'imer. This means to say, Af im Yis Mama, even if there will be a delay, even if Hashem delays. Af al pi sheyis mamea im kol zeh hakeloi, bevadai, certainty, Yachvi Seim Hashem will cut them down. V'lo yiyu nikiyim min hahach rosa. They'll not be clean from being cut down. Ultimately, the goyim will be cut down. The wicked will be cut down. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Chaf Aleph says, Yogodu, ye'osvu gidudim al nefesh Yisrael laharoig. Rashi says the same idea as what we learned in the Mitzudos. The word Yogodu comes from the word gidud, is a battalion, an organized, sophisticated group of individuals or items that come together to do harm. Gidud. Okay, let's see the next Rashi. Yarshiu, yichayvu badin lohorgo. So the wicked, they will corrupt the justice department. Isn't that what it says? It says, Rashi says, badin. They will take law. They will corrupt din, justice, in order to declare guilty an innocent person. This is part of what the wicked do. The wicked, they go and they don't just, they have every technique possible. Yarshiu, they will declare guilty the Naki, the innocent person, and Vedam, they will spill his blood. How? How will they do this? Rashi is adding something that I guess Rashi learns the word Yarshiu means to declare guilty includes within it the concept of judgment. They will illegally declare, they will basically corrupt mishpat, put in certain judges, bring in certain, you know, whatever, manipulate the justice system. Sure. Next, Pasachav. Now here we come to Pasachav Beis with no Rashi. Pasachav, we have now a new interpretation. It says, Vayoshev ha'leim es onam. Rashi, onam, own some. A whole new word. Own some means like an ones. Ones means to be an accident, or it means to be forced.
Violence.
Violence. Okay, that's a chiddush. That's not such a simple translation of the word onsam. Onsam is not an easy word to. In the Torah, we have an ones. What is an ones? I mean, is the word ones?
Because of that, as you'll see in the next words, he takes a very obscure reference to show it, because we were working on fairly commonly known quotes to show what the other meanings, but here, going to Eov and something that's very difficult to translate as is.
Right.
So, I don't know, that's odd.
Right, so okay, so over here, so what does it mean the word ono? Yitzpoin levonov ono, he yearns for his children's accident. We have to really go look this up. Mr. Cohen, Mr. Aaron Cohen, can I ask you a favor? Could you bring for us Sefer Eov from the other room? Can you bring a Sefer Eov? The blues, you can find it. Don't, if you can't find it, don't worry about it.
This translation here.
Yes.
Should God lay away his violence for his sons?
Okay, so you... Okay, so the word onam, he teaches the word onam is onsam. And ones means one of two things. It's not so easy what it means. Either it means an accident, an unavoidable accident. Or it means, like you said, an act of violence. You force a situation upon another person. Mm-hmm. So here the enemy is trying to force the Jewish people, their victims, into doing things or to suffer against their will. To evict them from their homes, to torture them, to kill them. This that we, what they forced upon us, will come upon them. They will be forced into a difficult situation. Okay, that's the basic gist. Also, that's different than when we learned until now, because we learned until now the word onam means either avoin, a sin, a crime, or it means power. And here he's saying it means to be forced into a situation or violence. Violence will come upon them, period. They will be the victims of their own violence. three very different translations, obviously, because everyone here is having a difficult time translating these words. Let's first see the Radak, and then we'll do the Targum afterwards. The Radak says, V'pasachav chav aleph, yogodu, ki hei malchei eretz, yischabru gidudim, as Dr. Dov mentioned, that who here is gathering together, not an individual. For whatever the reason, the Radak says that the wicked, I guess because the word gidud, a one person cannot be a gidud. The mafia can't be a gidud. A gidud, a battalion, carries within it the flavor of a government. Of a government, of a nation. Hekihem malchei eretz yischaberu gidudim al nefesh tzadik lamiso. Now, here we got what I wanted to come to. V'yesh b'farshim, it's a very famous pasuk. Yogodu min godu ilona, cut down the tree. It does not mean here the word a battalion, a group. It means just to cut down. To take an axe and to chop down a tree. The wicked people, Yogodu, they cut down. They engage in the activity of cutting. Thank you very, very much. It's good. Thank you. Yogodu here means to cut down Migizras Gidud. I'm sorry, where am I going here? Radak. Godu ilona, kiloimar, yivsiku hadin olav lokachas es nafsho. Now here it says a little bit, v'hu tzadik bino, he's saying two chidushim. Number one, the word yogodu means to cut down. Number two, he's saying he's cutting down in the context of mishpat, not just to go out into the street and take a weapon and kill a person. In the context of mishpat, it's a continuation with the next pasuk, v'dam noki yarshiu. The blood of the innocent, do they cause? V'chein yarshiu b'dinam in mishpat lishpoich dam nahanaki v'kefil inyin b'milah shonas. There's a poetic repetition over here. The subject of pasuk of alful fi radak is mishpat, the weaponization of the justice department. That is how he teaches this pasuk. They cut down a innocent man
with a verdict,
okay, or international law. A verdict of guilt when the truth is the person is innocent.
Well, that follows the previous passage when they got together and they created this evil alechok.
Well, all the whole question is hayachavra kisei, because you say good, but because it says the word kisei, that's a pretty safe thing to say. The word kisei automatically refers to a government, to an authority, whether it's a authority of law, an authority. Kisei does not mean just a chair. Kisei hayechavricha, kisei havois. Can any authority be a competition to you, Hashem? Can be compared to you? You're right. So if we're continuing,
and if they were yotzer amo alechok. So we say again that it's
chok, a law, right? Law. We're dealing here with a government that is, or an authority. That is called the kisei. They're passing. They're using their law. They're using law as a weapon. International law, or the laws of a country. It's now legal to behave in such a manner and to commit terrible crimes, to declare innocent people guilty. Yeah.
That was the Nuremberg.
The Nuremberg laws.
Yeah, it became legal.
Exactly, the Nuremberg laws. Legal to abuse people, to abuse Jews, to kill Jews. Exactly.
It's now legal too.
Tell me about it. You have over here kisei havos. It's an authority of corruption that creates omol alechok, creates evil to the degree where they pass laws. It's legal to commit these crimes, and then when they cap someone who violates the crime, they cut them down because now it's legal. They cut down the tzaddik. And they spill his blood, all against a framework of, that's the law. The law is, you're not allowed to be religious, you're not allowed to practice Judaism. That's the law, you violated the law. We have done no harm, we're tzaddikim. We're gonna kill you. We follow the law. You create laws that make it, that forbid the practice, the service of Hashem, and then you go and you kill people. Exactly what happened with Nazi Germany, exactly. Okay, so this is the Radak's interpretation on these psukim of Mimus, who next Radaklus, the next Radak, by Hashem, she slammed Yodam in the Niskafti, Bechaska, Lyosli, Kikim, Ashwaisam, Hashem saved us, Vayoshev, Alemes Onam, Vayoshev, Ovar Mokam, Osid. Ovar is in the past tense, even though we all know that, when you talk about prophecy, we mix up the past and the future tense. In the future, it will happen. It did not yet happen, but in the future, it will happen. Hashem will bring upon them. I'm just giving you examples of where we interchange the past tense and the future tense in terms of prophecy. Okay, now what does this word mean? The $6 million question. What does the word va'ona mean? Min omol va'oven, the afal pisha havav nocha. He is learning like the first interpretation of. What do we? Well, I'm getting confused. Did we do this already? I'm all confused. Right? What do we do?
No, we didn't do the Radak yet.
We did this already, right?
Yeah.
Right, we did this. We read the Radak, right?
No, we're in the Radak.
Yes, we did this.
We did the Mitzudot Tzion. I'm sorry, the Mitzudot Tzion. Right, so he's saying the same thing as we did so far, the Mitzudot Tzion, to teach the word Onam. Either it means of Ovel, or it means power. And he's doing the same thing over here. Same two perus, the same. He's saying the same thing over here. The Amol Jews, the Rosh the Onam min Omol v'Oven, the Afal Pishavav Nacha. There is no Vav in the word Onam. Like we said three times already.
It's not chasera, it's nacha. It's a.
There's no that. There's no that.
The vav is there. This is the vav, but we don't.
We don't pronounce it. There's no sound. If there would be a dat. Right. The vav is not pronounced. The vav is just a vowel. It's just a vowel, and therefore, being that it's only a vowel, it's as if the vav does not exist. Which is a difficulty because we in a word needs a root, and you generally never omit the middle letter of the root. The ayin apoal, it does not disappear whenever you transform a word. Sometimes the first letter disappears, and sometimes the last letter disappears, but not the middle letter. This is an extremely unusual situation where the root is oven, which means a sin, a crime. And we're using it here in this context where the middle letter, the ayin apoal, does not exist. It disappeared. And don't tell me the vav does.
Another word in this pasuk that the ayin apoal is missing. Vayashev.
Vayashev.
Oh no, Vayashev is the heishiv.
The shin bein.
Shin vav bet. Shuv.
No, that's not the sharish. That's shov. I don't know. Maybe you're right. I don't know. Could be shava, or it's a hey at the end, right? It's at the end. Okay, I don't know. Or maybe it's only two letters. Maybe the shor is only two letters. V'chein oilasa, it's avlasa. See that word really should be avlasa. The vav disappears. Look at that. So ovel. Ovel means a wrongdoing. You see an example where the vav, the middle letter, sometimes can disappear. Pam nocha havav upam no'o. V'chof al od l'chazek v'omar yatsmi sem Hashem Elokeinu. We repeat this expression twice. Okay, but notice that the Radak does not give the second interpretation of the Mitzudos, which says that in Echanami, because of this difficulty, we're going to go with the new interpretation. Koichi v'reishis oni. On means power. Okay, so that concludes this over here. Now let's take a quick glance at the targum of these last psukim. Pasuk chaf hey, the end of this mizmar. Pasuk chaf aleph. Yogodu al nefesh tzadik v'domek yashiyu. The targum says, yich nisun. Bishon, he's adding the word Yichnashun. Everyone did that. Everyone added that word into the pasuk. They gathered together Bishon. Now the Bishon, he has a different translation. The word Yogodu, he says they gather evil, Ra'ois. Where does the word Yogodu come to the word evil? I have no idea how we make that quantum leap to go from the word yogodu. Yogodu means either a gedud. I guess so. What maybe he's saying is that the real word yogodu means to.
That's the word. It's fool in order to do
evil. Okay, so it would seem then, if I'm not mistaken, that the word he's translating, the word yogodu, means to gather. The primary translation of yogodu means a battalion, not in terms of what they're doing, but it means they come together. Yogodu, a group of people are coming together. Who are coming together? Well, the context of this pasuk, it's the bishon, the evildoers, al nafsha. Right, agudos, agudos, groups. Groups of people. So yogodu means a group.
But you're making it a group.
We're making it a group, and who is coming together? From the context of this pasuk, it's the Rishoyim, the Bishon, Al Nafsha Ditzadika of the righteous. And here he says V'dom Noki Yarshiu. He says V'Adma Zakai Yechayvun Din Diktol. Adma means blood. Okay, the Adma is the blood of the righteous. Yechayvun Din Diktol Din Emes. Okay, so he adds over here the word, two words into this pasuk that does not say. It says din emes. The righteous is correct, and they take his din emes and they declare him guilty. The adma, the blood of the zakai, yechayvun, they declare guilty something. Din diktol. A din diktol means emes. That's how he translates the word diktol, is.
That's the
Arshia. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Okay, I'm sorry. The Adma Zakai, blood that's innocent. I made a mistake. Okay, so Zakai means Noki. I'm sorry. The blood that's innocent, Yechayvun Din Diktol, they condemn Diktol to die. Correct. Okay. Now, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Abay says, Vayhi Hashem li limiskav v'elokai litzur machsi. Pasuk Abay says, Vihe Hashem li lisoid. Hashem is a support. Ve lo kai liskoif ruchatzoni. And Hashem is a support. Okay, to koif here means a tsur, strength. Ruchatzoni, he translates over here, is a
Bey anarachitz.
Bey anarachitz, it means support. I put my support in you. Machsi over here, he's translating over here, is Hashem is a support. Ru be anor rochitz. In you, Hashem, I put my faith, my trust, my trust. So here it seems the word machsi means my trust. That is interesting, because machsi usually means refuge. And he's saying in this context, it means my trust.
It's the same thing.
Okay, but the words are very precise. One more pasuk, pasuk of Gimel. Pasuk of Gimel is Vayoshev Alehem Es Onam. Ultimately, Hashem will bring upon them there. Now, here it's going to get interesting. What exactly is the word Onam Lefi the Targum? We already had three Perushim, and now we have Vaasiv Alehoin. Hashem brings upon them Yas Shekorehon. Hashem brings upon them their Sheker. He translates the word Sheker. Hashem will expose the lies. How do you like that? Hold him. That's what he says. Shikor rehon. Their lies will come upon them. Sach hakol. We have how many perushim? Four perushim. Four perushim to translate the word vayoshev alehem es onam. Either oven, or power, own power, or Rashi, own some violence, and now number four, sheker. Hashem will expose their lies, will bring their lies upon them. Next, uvivishoshoin, and in their evil. Okay, that's the translation word uvirasam. And here comes the
bish means ra'a.
Evil, right? Bish is evil. So that's a straightforward translation. Yigam rinun, they will be finished off. Yatsmi Seim is a different translation than what we learned until now. We learned until the word Yatsmi Seim means to be cut down. Krisa, that's not what he's saying. He's saying over here it means to be finished. Goodbye. Finished off. We finished off. Yigam Rinun Hashem Elokono. Hashem will finish them off. Okay, so a different, little bit different translation. And before we go further, I think it's about Shachar Pratis. So here we have the word Rasha. Yigam Rinun. What do you have? You have different Girsa? Okay. Oh, I didn't see that. Over here in our text, it says Yigam Rinun. Nusach Acher Yigam Rinun. It changes the Mem and the Gimel. The Mem and the Gimel are interchanged. So I don't know the difference between these those two words. Okay, I don't know the difference. Usemager. You say that in the Velam Al Shinim. Velam Al Shinim. Okay, it seems like it means to be finished off. One way or another, Yatz Misein, it's the cut down, or versus to be finished, which are both very similar. Okay, before we go further, now let's see over here, very important, Likut Ishas. This is very important. There are certainly many drashas on this pasuk. It's very critical, this Maimon Chazal, the bottom of the page, on page 859, Vayoshev Aleihem Es Onam, the four translations, Uvirasam, and their evil, and in their evil, Yatz Misein, the two translations, we cut down, it'll be finished off, and then we repeat this unusual situation where you have two words back to back, Yatz Misein, Hashem Elokeinu, Kishachorav Beis Hamikash Borishayna, the Chorban Bayis Rishayn, when exactly did it happen? Also Hayom Erev Tisha B'Av Hoya. It was the morning, it was the same Erev Tisha B'Av. Now it's going to say that the Levium, now the word Erev is a very vague word. Very, very abstract. Sometimes Erev means in the late afternoon. Sometimes Erev means in the evening after the stars have come out. Sometimes it means the day before. The word Erev is a very hard word to hold down. The word Erev is always, it's used differently based on its context. What exactly does it mean, Erev? It's Erev Shabbos. Thursday night, it's already called Erev Shabbos. But sometimes the Erev is after Tzeis HaKechavim. Sometimes it means in the afternoon. Again, you have to look in every single Maimon Chazal, we have the word Erev, and define what it means in that context. Here, it gets very confusing. It's not even really clear what it means. But it says that the day when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was Erev Tisha B'Av. Also, Kishachorav Beis HaMikdash Barishoyna, also Hayom Erev Tisha B'Av Hoya. It was Erev Tisha B'Av. What does that mean? It can't say it means it was the evening, because we're going to see in one moment, the Levim were singing Shira. There is no such thing as singing Shira after Tzeis HaKechavim. To say they were singing Shira in the afternoon, the late afternoon, of the 8th, really? Is that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Okay, there are a lot of questions. We know, everyone knows that in Tisha B'Av there's all the question, really the Beis HaMikdash burnt in its majority on the 10th day of Av. It burnt, and that's why we observe, we're not allowed to launder our clothing and eat meat until day 10, Chatzos, because the majority of the Beis HaMikdash burnt on the 10th day. Why then do we observe the 9th day when the Beis HaMikdash was ignited on the 9th day after Chatzos? Aschalta de Paranusa. That is the beginning of the Paranusa. It's very strange because
it says Oto Hayom Erev Tisha B'Av. So the day.
It sounds like the 8th day. It sounds like the 8th day then. Is that really so? Is it really so that the Churban, how do you translate the word Churban? Does Churban mean
also Hayom of Tisha B'Av Erev in the late afternoon?
That's a stretch. Yeah. There are a lot of things that have to be properly defined. What was the Churban? Was the Churban the fact that we lost control? Was the Churban the act of igniting? Was the Churban the moment when Hashem's Shechina departed? There are many mysteries. The timeline of the Beis HaMikdash coming to an end was not in a split second. There was a process. There was a slow process which had many, many components. This Maimer Chazal is part of that process and has to be understood correctly, which I do not know, but let's read what it says. Kishachorav Beis HaMikdash Barishayna, also Hayoim was Erev Tisha B'Av Hoya, Umotsoe Shabbos Hoya.
So it's
What does Motzoi Shabbos mean? It means Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, or does it mean when it's dark outside? I don't know. There are a lot of different questions over here. Umotzoi Shvi Yisrael. It took place in the year that was after the Shemitah year. Umishmarto Shel Yeho Yoriv Hoysa. Who was on duty that week? Every week we know that the Kohanim were divided into 24 Mishmaros, and every week starting Mitzvah Shabbos began a new Mishmar. Is that really so? When did the new Mishmar begin? Mitzvah Shabbos or Sunday morning? I don't know. The Levim Hayu Omrim Shira. The Levim were singing Shira at the moment when this happened, at the moment of the Churban. The Omdim Al HaDuchanam. They were standing on the platform when they sang Shira. Uma Shira Hayu Omrim. They were singing this pasuk. They were reciting this pasuk when the enemy entered. Vayoshev aleihem es onam. May you, Hashem, bring upon the enemy their just rewards, their punishment. Give them what they deserve. Uviru'asam, and in their evil, yatz mi sein. And here it says, v'loy hispik, loymar, yatz mi sein Hashem Elokeinu. They were unable to say the next words. They were able to say the first yatz mi sein. Uviru'asam yatz mi sein. But they were unable to say yatz mi sein Hashem Elokeinu, at Shabau Nochrim Uchivoshum, until the enemy entered and the enemy destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. So they were unable to finish this pasuk. And you know what that means? It means it is for us. We're living now. I mean, that was the Churban Bayis Rishon, and according to many, that the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Bayis Sheni was never really a restoration of the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Sheni did not have the five miracles of the Bayis Rishon. It was just a temporary structure which gave us chizuk to get ready for the long galus of 1,954 years. So the very last moment of the Bayis, like the Yitzias Neshama of the Bayis Rishon, were the words Uverasam Yatz Misein. And we, the Levim, who are our representatives, who were unable to conclude the pasuk, Yatz Misein Hashem Elokeinu. So you know what that means? It's for us. For the last 2,500 years, Klal Yisrael is attempting, is reciting these last words, Yatz Misein Hashem Elokeinu, Mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokeinu, Mei Hashem Elokeinu, cut down the enemies.
By the way, there is something that Kedai wrote. If anybody can go to Martef HaShoah in Yerushalayim, there is one thing. It's a Sefer Torah that was taken. The commandant told the Jewish tailor, can you make me a jacket from this Sefer Torah? So he said, Commandant, I'll make it. So he took, and it's displayed. And he took two tochacha, the tochacha from
and Kisavo.
And he put it on the two sides, and in the middle, he put the pasuk, ונתן השם אלוקיך לך את הכללה וישיב השם אלוקיך את הכללה על אויביך ועל שונאיך אשר ידפוך.
And he walked like this with a jacket,
and everybody saw it.
The tailor was making the tzonis of the Nazi.
They were laughing, right?
The tailor was making the tzonis of the Nazi. Ultimately, you'll get what you deserve.
This
he took the
toich. Exactly what happens here.
So Hashem now, so there's a Musar. The Musar Vard is that, unfortunately, why is Mashiach have not come? I said yesterday, again, we were zeichet to miracles. In the last two, 3 days, Mitzvah Shabbos, and Sunday, Monday, Nisim v'niflois, unbelievable Nisim. And it is upon us to say, Yatz Misem Hashem Elokeinu, to recognize where the miracles come from. There are two different madregos in the defeat of our enemies. There is koichi v'yoytzem yodi osli eslachayel azeh. It was the arrow number 3, and the Patriot missiles, and the Iron Dome, and the intelligence collection, and the coordination with our allies and partners. Yeah. It's all true. That's all together. Uvira osam yatz mi same. May Hashem, in their evil, they should be cut down in their evil. But where is God? Where is the Ribbono Shel Olam in this part of the plan? It's not just to give thanks to all the allies who participated in this incredible victory of defense. No, it's Yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu. Part of the battle of the enemy is, even when you succeed and defeat us, they're working overtime. Don't say that your success in defeating us is Hashem Elokeinu. Just say, yeah, you had better, superior technology. You had better weapons. You have more money. You have more friends. That's also part of the plan. Part of the plan of the enemy is, we know the day will come when we will be defeated. Here you have the Romans, they're coming into the Beis HaMikdash to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And they hear the Levim saying, oh, don't worry, you wicked Rishoyim, Yemach Shemam V'Zichram, you're destroying the Beis HaMikdash. The Romans weren't foolish, they weren't stupid. Maybe they probably were. Okay, I take that back. But they're the Sar Shalmaila of the Romans says, we know that this success, our victory, is only temporary. Eventually, look at study world history. Eventually, the Gilgal HaChazer, the victim, will one day rebuild. They will get rid of they'll get rid of the enemy. They'll rebuild. They'll build a new Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we know that, but we want absolute victory. Don't ever say that the reason why you will cut us down and you will succeed is because Hashem Elokeinu. If you notice, unfortunately, we have to be makir tov again 1,000 times to the incredible Nisim and Nifloys. But unfortunately, when you watch the media and you listen to all the different outlets of news that are willing to acknowledge the miracles and even Eretz Yisrael, many of them have a very hard time mentioning the name of Hashem. They have a very painful, it's hard for them to say Be'ezras Hashem. Okay, the Prime Minister, in the end of his address, the very end, he said, Be'ezras Hashem, we will prevail. But he didn't say that in the beginning of the speech. Okay, there was no mention of God's name in the beginning, and many of the generals and the people who spoke representing all different, whatever it is, unfortunately, Yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu. And until we are able to say, it's one thing that we're zoiche, and we take the win with open arms, Shevach Voidot Hashem, that we were zoiche uvira asam Yatzmisem. The evil, Vayoshev Aleim Es Onam uvira asam Yatzmisem. We take that gladly. Chaste Hashem Kiloy Samu. But unfortunately, the enemy, the Romans, when they came into the Beis HaMikdash, they prevented Klal Yisrael from saying the next three words. Yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu. The Romans acknowledge that their victory of destroying the Beis HaMikdash is only temporary. That's the way the world goes. The same way the Jews were slaves in Egypt, and they survived, they prevailed, they came into Eretz Yisrael. So we know ultimately the Jews will succeed, they'll get rid of us, they'll rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. But our prize, our goal is, they should never say that when they conquer us and they get rid of us, that it was Yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu. The most we'll allow the Jews to say in world history is, Vayoshev Aleihem Es Oinom Uvira'osam Yatzmisem. They did not allow the Levim to say Yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu. That they cannot tolerate, because that is the ultimate victory the Jewish people have over the enemy, is when the Jewish people can say that it was the Yad Hashem. They can openly declare without any hesitation, Belev Sholem, and give a Shevach Vaidot Hashem and say, it wasn't the Arrow 3. It wasn't the Patriots. It wasn't the Iron Dome. It was Yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu. Then we know that we won. That's the ultimate victory.
How do we know it happens? Pasuk Aleph.
L'chun ron al Hashem, kel gam es Hashem. Going back to the beginning of the Mizmar. This is something that they cannot allow. And that's a much deeper interpretation of what it says here in this Chazal. They came and they were saying, everything was going good. It was Erev Tisha B'Av. Okay, so you have to go and look at all the different, the significance of all of these different events of what it means. Why Dafka Erev Tisha B'Av? That's when the miraculum came back. And Mitzvah Shabbos, what is the significance of that? And the significance of Mitzvah Shviyas Haysa, Umishmad Shal Yahoyarib, what is the significance of that? V'halavim ha'yoyimim shira v'yoyimdim ala duchanam u'ma'a shira ha'yoyimim v'yosh v'leim esanim v'ov v'asam yasmisim. In other words, if we were to analyze everything over here, we would say, no, it's only temporary. Don't worry. But this is where they won. This is where, unfortunately, the Romans, this is what this is the real Churban. The real Churban of the Beis HaMikdash was the loy hispiku loymar yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu, to prevent us. And unfortunately, that's how it's been in history. Okay, we have Baruch Hashem. No one is being a kofui toiv for the bracha of Eretz Yisrael, the state of Israel. Chas v'shalom to be a kofui toiv in the matana, but unfortunately, we have not yet reached the level of where Medinas Yisrael yet can openly say Yatzmi Seim Hashem Elokeinu, and that pain was inflicted upon us by the Rishoyim of this Mizmar, who have done everything in their power to cloud our vision of seeing that success is purely Hashem Elokeinu. They did not let us say those words, Yatzmi Seim Hashem Elokeinu. They let us say, Uviro Asam Yatzmi Seim, Vayoshev Leim Esoinam. Yeah, that's right, you guys, that's right. The day will come, we'll get what we deserve. But at least we won in not allowing you to recognize that it was the Yad Hashem. Chaval, we're not there yet. We're getting very close. Halavai. Not by everyone, Hashem, Baruch Hashem, the people, Chalal Yisrael, Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, hopefully, the Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, makir that. But unfortunately, there are 15 million Jews in this world. And the 15 million Jews, I'm not making this, Sapuk Hazia Madvar, go read the news, go listen to all the different media outlets and listen to these clips. And unfortunately, there's very little recognition of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Like you said, Dr. Dove said, statistically, what has happened is an impossibility. The number of missiles that were shot, the number of attempts, and nothing should get through, and not even one person should be injured. Nothing. I mean, there was a lot of terror. Yeah, you cannot deny. You can't deny anxiety. Anxiety is something which cannot be, that itself is a tragedy. But Baruch Hashem, physical harm, Baruch Hashem. Like I told you last week, there was an earthquake. Could you imagine? There's an earthquake. I told you this last week. There was the what happened after the earthquake. So the mayor gets up and he says, "I command all of you citizens of New York, to go about business as usual." Nothing happened. We don't have any reports of injury, death, property damage. There was no property damage. Is that really true? Did any property damage in the earthquake? I don't know. Someone told me that they have a warehouse in Lakewood, in New Jersey, they have a problem now. I don't know. But there was no, Baruch Hashem, there were no reports of injury, death, injury, property damage. And he said, go about business as usual. That's my command. The governor, Hatchel, am I pronouncing your name right? I can't pronounce your name, sorry. Hatchel. She made an announcement, we are masters. This were her words. We are masters. We are experts in dealing with these things, and there's nothing to worry about, and everything is okay. Everything that they said was 100% kefira. First of all, the earthquake was the most amazing bracha for New York, for this region. Why? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam shook everyone up to recognize how delicate we are in this world, and that there's a creator, and we're not in control, and everyone's heart was shaken just a little bit to recognize, you know, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. There's going to be a Din V'Cheshbon. We're in a lot of trouble, and yet no one was hurt. Yeah. No one was hurt. Could you imagine? We were shaken to the core, and no one got hurt, and no one lost any money. And to say business as usual is the ultimate kefira. After something like this, it's time to make a Cheshbon HaNefesh and to do teshuvah. And to say that we're masters over everything that happens? What are you joking? Koichi v'reishis oini? You're a master over nothing. Zero. It was an incredible experience to be shaken to the core and suffer no harm, no injury, no death, no money loss, and yet have a religious experience. And what is the takeaway? The takeaway is that it's not business as usual. It's time to do teshuvah. It's not that we're masters over our destiny. We have no control over anything. Here as well, this is a very deep, profound idea being expressed by this medrash. The goyim, what was the harm? To appreciate the damage of the Churban was their ability to prevent us from being makir, that when they will come to an end, it will only be through Hashem Elokeinu. Not because of koichi v'reishis oini osili hachayel hazeh. There will be a day when they will come to an end of vayoshev aleim es oinam uvrosam yatzmisem. But the real goal for us is to recognize that it's Hashem Elokeinu. Okay, the last thing is really leading to the Haggadah, before we conclude, very important, it's v'hashkacha pratis. I want to do a little bit of Haggadah today afterwards, but I have a new Haggadah, I know the author, I don't know personally, I remember this machaber from years ago, his father and his son, they both put out very choshev with someone chumash. Bergman. I think his name is Bergman. We'll do a little bit later. I really like this Haggadah. Where new Haggadah? Gruzman. I'm sorry. You know who he is?
No.
Gruzman. Gruzman, Osher Gruzman. I remember his father, Tzvi Gruzman. His father put out very choshev svarim on Chumash, and then all of a sudden his son, and it's the same style, the same publisher, you can see the way it was done. So this year, I haven't seen this from in a very long time, many years, I saw on the table a Haggadah from Osher Gruzman. And I assume it was printed this year. It doesn't have a date here. That's very strange. There's no date when this was printed. I assume it was printed this year. There's no date here. There's mamish no date. No, it does. Yud Zayin Teves Tov Shin Pei Dalet. Hot off the press. Okay, hot off the press. And it's called Haggadas HaMilim. He's very into the precise translation of words. A beautiful Haggadah, not like a lot of the other Haggadahs, where he dwells very heavily on the precise meaning of words and uses that as a springboard to give you a whole new appreciation of what it says in the Haggadah. And when it comes to the Arba'a Banim, so what do we call them? We call them the Chochom, the Rasha, the Tam, and the She'enu Yodea Lishol. What is the Rasha? Translate the word the Rasha for me. Take out your art scroll Haggadah and translate. The reason why this is relevant is because it says over here in this pasuk is raw. It says over here, Yogoydu al nefesh tzadik vidom noki yarshiu. Yarshiu means to declare a rasha, to declare wicked. We like to train wicked. So what is wicked? How do you touch the word rasha? Well, you have in the anshei stoim. It says the word rasha in the Torah. Ro'im, ro'im, evil. Moshe said, what did Moshe say to the Ish Mitzri? Rasha, lama sake reyecha. Vayomer lo rasha. Vayomer lo rasha. Lama sake reyecha. What does it mean, Rasha? Vayomer, he said to the Rasha, we like to translate it, Vayomer lo rasha, to the wicked man. Is that really what it means? Is that really the correct translation? The people of Sodom, they were. What's the word by the Anshei Sodom? Ro'im, Ro'im, Vachatoim, Lahashem. It doesn't call them Rishoim. It calls them Ro'im. evil. Is a Rasha a practitioner of Ra? Is that really what it means? Is that what a Rasha really is? A practitioner of Ra. Ra is it. There's the Eitz Hadas Toiv Vara. Does that mean that Adam Harishon, he ate from the Eitz Hadas, he's now a Rasha? Is that what it means? We like to associate Ra, a Rasha, with Ra. The common man will tell you that the translation of the word Rasha is a person who practices Ra. There is something in this world called evil, Ra, Reish Ayin, and a practitioner of Ra is a Rasha. That is probably the most common translation of the word Rasha. Oh! So what does it mean, Yarshiyu? What does that pasuk really mean? What does it mean when Moshe said, Vayomer lo Rasha lo masa kereyecha? What does it mean, Rasha? It's very, very hard to put your finger on the word Rasha. To assume that a Rasha is a person who practices Ra, it doesn't say that anywhere. Does that mean that Adam Harishon was a Rasha? Because Adam Harishon, he ate from the Eitz Hadas, Toiv Ra, he brought into his being Ra. That means he is a Rasha. It doesn't say anywhere in B'chol HaTorah Kula that Adam Harishon is a Rasha. But he actually ate, he ingested Ra. So what does it mean? So he goes on to explain that Ra, everything, as we always say, is an abstraction which has to be defined against its context. And Ra, he shows, is always used together. Rasha, it's a tremendous chiddush what he says now, is always used against the backdrop of a tam. If there's no tam, then there's no such thing as a Rasha. What do we mean? Tam, a Rasha, is the opposite of a Rasha. A tam is a very simple, straightforward person who doesn't know connivory. The Yaakov Ish Tam, Yoishev Oholim, glat, a person, there's a red light, so at the red light, you stop. When there's a green light, you go. When there's a yellow light, you slow down. Yashar, Tam, he doesn't know from connivory. You have taxes, so you have questions. How much money did you make? You put down the number. How many children do you have? How many deductions? Whatever question you answer, Yashrus. You go in order, you fill out answer the questions, and at the end of the questionnaire, you have a result, and that's what you submit. Yasha. A Rasha is not an evil person. It's not a practitioner of Ra. A Rasha is the opposite of a Tam, a conniver. It says there's a light, there's yellow, red, and green. Yellow means go. So I tell you, Yasha, red means stop. Yellow means slow down. Green means go. A Rasha is a person that takes advantage of the situation. If it's red, for yellow means, green means go very fast. Yellow means speed up. It means speed up, because if it's yellow, it means that in a few moments it's going to be red. So a crooked person, instead of following the law that yellow means slow down, for him, oh, what does yellow mean? In a moment it's going to be red. I'm going to be stuck here for 2 minutes. So yellow, in my mind, means speed up. That's what yellow means. That's a Rasha. A Rasha is not a wicked person. A Rasha is a conniver. You know what the basic rules are, and you seek to take advantage of the basic rules to achieve your result. Tax returns. First question, how much money do you want to get back this year? So you go to the end of the form, I want to get back this year $3,000. So you put in $3,000, and then you work backwards. You work backwards to figure out how it can work out in one way or another. I get back, that's a Rasha. He's not an evil person, he's a conniver. He's a conniver. You know the rules, and when you know the rules, you manipulate the rules. You know how to weave in and out. That's the taich. A Rasha is relative to a Tam. A Tam doesn't know from shtick. A Tom knows yellow means slow down. Green is go, red is stop. The Rasha makes an assessment of all of the rules together and figures out how to beat the system. What?
Is it pointed out?
It's not necessarily evil. You see, that's the point. It's not necessarily evil because sometimes there's good reason to do so. It's not necessarily evil. Here, when you understand that concept, that a Rasha is not, contrary to popular belief, a Rasha is not an evil person. A Rasha is a conniver. You know why? Because you would not invite the Rasha to your table. You don't bring people, everybody stop, please, just another minute. You do not bring to your table evil. Your Pesach Seder is a holy place. There is no makom at the Pesach Seder to bring to the Pesach Seder table ra. It's not a place of the Eitz Hadas Toiva ra. However, there are different types of people. There's the Chocham, there is the Tam, there is the She'en Yodei Lishol, and there's a Rasha. The Rasha does not mean he is a practitioner of Ra. It doesn't say that anywhere, B'chol HaTorah Kula, that that's what a Rasha is. Nowhere does it say such a thing. A Rasha is viewed in relation to a Tam. He actually quotes a Pasuk. After the break, I'll show you the Pasuk. He quotes a Pasuk where he puts the two together. A Rasha is defined in relative to a Tam. A person that makes an assessment of all of the rules and now knows how to beat the system. Not necessarily for evil, to cause other people harm or to steal or to take advantage. In our vocabulary, we call a Rasha an evildoer. But that's not the precise meaning. In this post, exactly what it means. The mamash fits into this post like a glove. Over here it says, we're dealing over here with hayachavrcha kitzei havos. We have authorities that are corrupt. Yoitzer omol, they create problems that don't exist, aleichok, to the degree where they create laws that are corrupt laws. For what purpose? Yogodu al nefesh tzaddik, in order to gather together against the tzaddik, vidom no ki arshu, to the connive. They don't openly go and spill the blood of an innocent person. Yarshu, they find legal loopholes through the creation of laws and ambushes. They set them up in order to get them in a conniving way. Of course, in this case, these people are indeed evil. They are the evil, but that's not what the word Yarshu here means. Yarshu means is they find legal loopholes, excuses. They set up traps in order to take advantage of tzaddikim and the nekiim, in order to bring an end to them, to spill their blood. You need to be very careful in the translation of every single word. All right, tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we go to Luchun Ranana. Okay, we'll take a short break. We're not going to do Sefer Chassidim this week. We're just going to spend some time on Pesach. I want to talk about Gebrokst, and then we want to do some Haggadah. Just a little bit about Gebrox, then we'll do Haggadah. Matzah Shiruya, Knedlach. Rav Baruch, are you have some Knedlach all ready to go?